Hi folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here.
Petra, I want to tell you about a pattern I'm seeing. I know you do a lot of work with product leaders, so I want to get your input on this pattern. So at Product Talk, we get brought in to train product teams, right? Mm-hmm. Usually it's a company that's just worked with SVPG. They're trying to transform to the product operating model. They're curious about continuous discovery. They're shifting from outputs to outcomes. And they're like, our teams need to learn how to work this way. And we're like, okay, great. Mm. That's what we do. We teach teams how to work this way. They sign up. We do a private cohort for their teams. We go through our product discovery fundamentals course. They get introduced to all the discovery habits. We put a lot of effort into like how to apply it to your own work and come to our office hours and get help. And then that's a 6-week class. And then about 2 to 3 months later, we hear from the company and they say, the team loved the class, but they're not putting it into practice. Mm-hmm. We go, okay, great. Let's talk about why. Like, are your leaders talking about outcomes? Are they asking teams to share their opportunity solution trees with you? Are they asking to see interview snapshots? Are you creating rituals for your teams to share their work with each other so that you're starting to build a culture of this is how we do product here?
Culture is the important word.
Yeah. And we just get back blank stares. Like, no, our leaders don't know how to work this way. They don't ever talk to the teams about it. They still want the features. They still are asking teams to deliver specific features. And I'm just flabbergasted by this. Like, we as trainers cannot change your culture. And so I was on LinkedIn and I saw Melissa Perry recently posted and she had a big graphic and it said, train your leaders first. And I was like, hell yes.
Yes.
That is it. Like, companies forget in transformations, it's not just your product teams that need to learn new skills. Your leaders have to learn to work this way too. I'm supposed to be asking you a question and I just took a really long way to get there. But like in your leadership coaching and as you work with organizations, do you see this? Like, are leaders even aware of the role they play in a transformation?
I see this in all flavors. So I have the one-on-one coaching offering, which is usually booked by individuals either already in a product leadership position or people that get promoted into a product leadership position, most likely super experienced folks from elsewhere in the organization with no product background. So they then book the one-on-one coaching because they want to speed up the learning curve, basically. And those are obviously the people that are aware of, hey, I have to learn what product management is all about, what the culture is that I need to deliberately create for product people to be successful in this organization. So my one-on-one coaches usually are aware of that or are already suffering from that change not to happen. Because if I coach product team leads, they're sometimes still deep in the belly of a corporate organization and they are the ones trying to push for change from their position, right? So that's often conversations that we have. In my transformation coachings, on the other hand, when I work with corporate organizations, with the digital transformation teams, for example, then it's a harder conversation to have because they initially just booked the interview training, Teresa, with you. So why is they changing their culture? All they wanted to have is product people being better at interviewing skills. And now everybody starts talking about outcomes and it's really uncomfortable for them. And then often transformation offices are picking that up and say like, okay, there is this friction, conflict sometimes even. How do we solve this? And then the answer oftentimes is we have to have the leadership conversations. So we have to have the leadership conversation. That's, by the way, one of the reasons why I came up with my product leadership wheel, because for one of my clients, we had exactly that. The engagement was first of all focused on product managers. Then we were focusing on the product leadership people. And then we were finding, the organization never defined what product leadership is all about. And then they looked at me and say like, could you actually help us with the role description and the career path and all this kind of thing? And I was like, yeah, sure, I can do that. And at some point I created an agnostic version of that to say like, hey, what is product leadership all about? What do you have to learn? I have a massive blog post on how product culture is something you deliberately create as a product leader. So we put that in the show note for sure. But yeah, I'm seeing that a lot. And I totally agree with Melissa here. If you are planning, so if it's a change project you're looking into as an organization, then training your leaders first, this totally makes sense and is changing the entire dynamic. And by the way, a lot of transformations die because of, and you have taught so many of these people, right? They learn the ropes of interviewing and user research, and they create opportunity solution and trees, and they start to talk about outcomes more, but then they are hitting that wall. And this is killing motivation, employee motivation by the dozens. Yeah. And that's so sad to see and watch from the sidelines.
This is, you nailed it. Like, I want to just pick apart a little tiny example that you brought up. Let's say a company, like, they have this first order thinking of like, oh, if our product teams just were better at interviewing customers, they would build better stuff. So let's pay for interview training. Okay, so they pay for interview training. Their teams learn how to conduct better customer interviews. What happens when they learn how to conduct better customer interviews? Well, now they want access to customers on a regular basis, which means they're starting to pick fights with the sales team and the account management team who wants to own the customer relationship. So you got to work through that organizational change, right? Mm-hmm. And then, okay, finally, they start to get access to customers and they start learning like, oh, my business stakeholder wants me to build this thing, but my customer doesn't want that thing. And they go and they push back against the stakeholder and they say, hey, I was learning in my interviews. And that stakeholder's like, wait a second, I didn't realize you were going to challenge my ideas because I gave you interviewing training. Right. And so like, we think it's so easy to frame this as our business problem is that our team is lacking skills.
Yeah.
It is.
But for example,
true.
So. Yeah. And one big shift that I'm seeing is this, I often say this sentence is all ideas come equal. So I know that we're using the term opportunity slightly different in our teaching. For me, first step oftentimes is like we collect ideas from wherever, from the user side, from the team side, from the highest paid person in the room side, wherever. And then we're assessing them to see if there is some business value in it, if it does make sense for us to invest in further discovery. So we're not building the thing. We just agree that it does make sense to invest some more time in discovery to figure out if it's really a good idea and if somebody would use it and if we could build a solution around it. And does all ideas come equal? It doesn't matter if it's the CEO's idea or the tech lead's idea or an idea that we found in our user interview synthesis. We want to assess them in the same ways and want to use the same methodology to assess it. And that already is mind-boggling for some of the people in leadership positions that are super used to this hierarchical thinking in organizations, right? And a lot of the product people and the user research people and the engineering teams, we live at, that's by the way, an illustration that we include in the show notes as well. We live in this more organic blobs. So we used to cross-functional collaboration. We are used to work alongside with each other. We are super used to this healthy friction between the professions where the leadership teams still are super siloed sometimes. So the chief marketing officer is totally somewhere else than the chief sales officer oftentimes. And for them, it's not so common to work together, to collaborate on a daily, weekly, whatever basis, hourly basis, even for most of our teams. That's the reality. There is a massive reason to look at your leadership layer, not just product leadership layer, by the way. That's not enough. So the rest of the organization needs to start to wrap the head around some of the practices as well.
Yeah, like, again, I want to just push on this interviewing example. Like, let's say that we get through the obstacle of, like, sales and account managers don't want our product team talking to our customers. They do that. And we overcome that obstacle, which is a real one. And our product team start interviewing every week. And they start to learn things about, like, hey, the CEO's pet idea isn't going to work. And they start communicating that to their leadership. And what happens if the leaders don't buy into this way of working?
Yeah.
First of all, they don't know how to evaluate, is this team conducting good interviews? Is this a more reliable source of information, or should I just trust my CEO? And if they don't have the ability to evaluate that, they're not going to go to the CEO and say, hey, my team's not going to build your idea. So that's the first problem.
Yeah, the ideas is bollocks. Yeah, exactly.
Right? And then the second problem is, if they haven't gone through training and they still think about it as like, no, my job is to tell my teams what to build, it doesn't matter what the teams bring back from their discovery. That leader is still going to say, no, this is what's on the roadmap. Build this. And if that happens over and over and over again, guess what happens? That team is not going to interview. They're not getting any value from the interview.
Because why should they?
It's a waste of their time.
Yeah, it's a waste of their time. Yeah.
We paid for training, but nothing in the organization changed. It must be a problem with the training.
Yeah.
This is not, like, we call it organizational transformation for a reason. And Hope Garan and I recorded, like, there's like 12 videos in this series. And we released a blog post that collects everything together. So we now have a guide. I think it's called The Product Operating Model Explained. And we'll put it in the show notes. And we talk about like all the levels of the organization that have to evolve when you're trying to shift to the product operating model, starting with the CEO, starting with all of your leaders, not just your product leaders.
Ooh, that's amazing.
All your middle managers, how you should start with pilot teams, what they're going to need to succeed. The reason why we're starting with pilot teams is because they're going to expose all the obstacles in your organization that need to change.
It will trigger the immune system. That's how I call
exactly.
It helps, for example, in my work, since I have the product leadership wheel being such a substantial resource, it does help in these conversations as well. Because so far, HR departments and even senior executives thought product leadership is just like the most senior product person now running the product organization. And maybe they understood they're responsible for product strategy. But then if I put the end and the wheel comes with these three dimensions of product, ways of working, and people, and then it comes with 12 principles that are beneath that, that talk about directional clarity, for example, and that comes then with 40, 50 questions each bucket to say like, hey, is your product leadership person able to do all of that? And this is usually the first time when I see these larger corporations and organizations say like, ooh, product leadership, it's a thing. It's more than, so maybe they need training, maybe they need support as well. Maybe they need a community of practice they could belong to. Maybe they need a coach. But before this was written out in detail, if people did not stumble across, for example, Marty's Empowered or Transformed, it was not so concrete. People couldn't touch it really, that product leadership is different from product management and how different it is to run a product organization and how different it is to create this product culture around the product organization that helps the rest of the organization to understand which change projects they still have to undergo.
Yeah. I want to end with just a little bit of empathy for these leaders, because I think one thing that's really hard that we don't always acknowledge is that like a lot of our product leaders grew up in a project world. They've actually never put the discovery habits into practice. It's not their fault. This is not how business worked historically.
That's how the world
it's
is.
It's still not how a lot of businesses even work today. But they find themselves either mid-career or late career, and they're having to learn a whole new way of working. And I want to just end with, like, I have a lot of empathy for that. Even so, like, we're starting to develop a new program called the Discovery Habits Toolbox, which hopefully we'll have some materials live for that program that we can put in the show notes. But the whole goal of that program is to provide resources, curriculum, workshop playbooks, practice opportunities, coaching tools for leaders so that they're better able to coach their own teams.
Yeah.
Even though they haven't worked this way. Right?
Yeah.
So I think, like, yes, I have this huge rant that like your transformation is going to fail if you don't also train your leaders. I want to acknowledge that like there isn't a lot of great options. We have a lot of amazing leadership coaches. <I know. laughs> Like, right? That's great. But they need more. They need more structure. Yeah. They need help.
That's another reason why I continue to put content out there, because there is not enough stuff for product leaders right now. Structured content, good content that really has some depth. It's good that we both continue to cater for that target group.
For sure. For sure. So if you're a leader listening, we get it. We know it's hard, but you do play a critical role. So hopefully you can help your organization transform.
Keep pushing.
Yeah. Thanks, Petra.
Thanks, Teresa.